The Pop Culture Show is presented by Big Five Cafecito Cuban Coffee Rum. Florida made, Cuban inspired, enjoyed everywhere. Big Five Cafecito Cuban Coffee Rum.
Welcome to The Pop Culture Show. We are your deep dive into the latest celebrity news, music, TV, technology, interviews. Today, we've got Rick Beato, a YouTuber, famous musician. This guy is really cool. He'll be on with us later in the show. Look over there. It's Leslie Fram on your left.
Hey, great to be here.
Oh, great. Well, you have to be.
True.
At least it's great to be here, right? Cubby, what's going on?
Great to be above ground, as my dad always says. Another day above ground is a good day.
Man, I found out this week that, remember all the foot stuff I've been talking about? Like, I've had the plantar fasciitis problem. They put like stem cells in it. They did some crazy surgery where they go in and like blast stuff off. All that, it's been going on for a year and a half. I went back. It hasn't fixed yet. So all these things and nothing worked. But people who have, and it's like apparently it's so massively like everywhere, so many people have it in their life at some point. There's a new treatment. I'm getting Botox.
Oh my goodness.
Wait a minute. Botox on your foot?
In your feet?
In my foot. But if you think about it.
Wrinkle-free feet.
Wrinkle-free. But it kills the muscle, right? So he explained it to me and I was like, wow, that's interesting. They shoot it in your heel and it kills the reaction, I guess, from that muscle. So you're not stressing it out.
Both feet?
No, just one.
Just one?
So if you know someone who has that as a problem, that's just a little pro tip.
Well, I hope it works because the other things aren't working, are they?
Nothing.
It's interesting that you said that because, you know, you ever see any of the Hollywood stars that have had way too much Botox and their forehead doesn't move? So it might work, Barnes.
Yeah, I'm going to have the most lean, non-wrinkled foot, at least one of them.
Barnes,
at least one of them.
Would you say you have good feet? You know, people are very, very opinionated of their own feet. And they often
feel I just have normal feet.
All right. You don't have any jacked up toes or anything like that?
No. Do you?
No, I got pretty good looking feet.
No, I have terrible.
Really?
Yeah, and I have arthritis in my left foot.
Oh, no.
I thought I had a stress fracture, and when I went to see this sports medicine doctor a couple of years ago, he's like, nope, you got arthritis in there. I'm like, what? So, yeah, it's painful, but I still walk.
Oh, is that how you get, is most of your exercise like walking? You
don't, I'm not going to, I'm like a power walker, but I'm not going to let it hold me down.
There I've you known go. You 30 years and I've never seen your feet, and now I know why.
You won't see them
You've
ever.
Never worn
Wait,
a sandal.
Do you ever get pedicures?
No.
Leslie? No?
Just manicures.
But a pedicure, you know, forget how, you know, what they do to the nails. It just feels good.
You don't
go for that?
I don't want anybody touching
do
my
you?
Feet.
Well, Cubby? I don't go often, but I went one time a few years ago and I really enjoyed it. They give that calf rub down, everything.
All the time.
It's great.
That's why I go.
Right. I could care
we
less.
Should do the dueling chairs.
Right. I could care less about I could care less about what they do to my toenails. I just want to get that rub down, you know?
You want the rub down.
Right.
Now, I have to ask you, though, when you go for your haircut, does your stylist do the massage, the head massage?
No, I go to the old school barbershop.
Okay.
You know, it's a bunch of guys talking sports, and it's like 5 minutes a guy. All right, get out, get in. Actually, you know what? I have a hairstylist question for you. We were talking about this on our morning show. Do you tell your hairstylist what you want, or does the hairstylist tell you what you want?
I tell them what I want.
Okay. Because sometimes the hairstylist will steer you in a way, and you think, well, they're a professional.
That's dangerous.
Right. Well, for me, as you can tell, it doesn't really matter. But I guess for a lady, it is.
They won't. When I go in, it's the same cut every time. I wish they could program it and just do it every time.
Right.
Just do it.
Do you do clippers at all or any scissors or is it all like I do a number one on the side and then I do little scissors on top
in the back, like not all the way. I'm just like,
yeah. One time I sat in the barber chair and I'm like, cause I know the numbers of the clippers and I'm like, just do a number two on my head. He's like, what?
You want me to take a shit on your head?
I know.
Like, what?
So one other pro tip, and this is one that, do you ever get a song stuck in your head?
Who doesn't?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
I have the cure.
Like
I did
the band?
Not know this for so... No, not the band. I did not know this for so many years. If you chew gum, it'll knock it out of your head.
Really?
Wait, is that scientific?
It something about the brain waves and the movement of your jaw when you're chewing gum releases that lock on the song.
Interesting.
And I tried it the other day and it worked.
See, what I do usually, I don't know what you do, Leslie, but I sometimes just listen to it a couple times in a row, and that usually will get it out of my head.
Actually, it doesn't bother me, though, unless it's some song, you know, like
I'll go all day.
A Christmas like song in July.
When we had Rick Nielsen on, I was walking around, you were the first to be the last. I mean, I was singing The Flame.
Right.
And I just couldn't stop. And it just go. You get in the shower, there it comes again.
I have OCD issues with if there's a song on in the car and I get to the driveway and there's like a minute left in the song, I can't turn the car off. I have
what?
To let it ride.
Yeah,
I don't
kidding?
Know. I don't know why.
Wow.
You have to let it finish,
but do you have to shut down before the next one starts so you're not committed?
No, if I hear the beginning of it, I'm like, well, that's the beginning, and I, you know, whatever, peace out.
But you know, Cubby, I've heard if you chew gum that...
Follow the Pop Culture Show on Twitter for the latest breaking celebrity, music, and TV news. Keep on top of your pop culture news with us on Twitter. Follow at Pop Culture Show on Twitter.
Time for This Week in Pop Culture. This is one of my favorite segments, I have to say, on the show. I love getting the roundup of all the stuff that's going on out there. Have you seen the latest with Ryan Reynolds?
No, so, but I love Ryan Reynolds.
You know, he's getting real close to jumping the shark.
Like, what?
A few times already with his ads. And with he's just, I think you're getting too much of him. This is kind of funny, though. LeVar Burton, who for some reason now is getting his 15 minutes of fame.
Because of Jeopardy?
Yeah.
Well, he was famous before that, man. Right. Star Trek, Reading Rainbow, come on.
I just mean again, like, he's coming back to the forefront.
Right.
And his fans, what, voted him in as the Jeopardy host. So now, Ryan Reynolds has picked him up to do his latest aviation gin ad.
Everybody's been saying how great LeVar Burton is. So I decided to have him step in for me as spokesperson for aviation gin. LeVar?
Thanks, Ryan. The smooth, refreshing taste of Aviation American Gin. For an out-of-this-world gin and tonic. Mmm. Oh.
Mmm. Now that man is a goddamn national treasure. I mean, he's probably too good for us.
What do you mean, too good?
LeVar! What? You can hear me. Usually it's just me in here.
It's so dark.
Welcome to hell.
This isn't going to work out, Ryan.
I said aviator, by the way, aviation gin. And his commercials, it's like they pull out an iPhone and just shoot them. Like there's no budget.
But I think they're clever, though.
They are
clever.
Yeah.
I'm saying that in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. Can you sing the Reading Rainbow theme?
No.
Butterflies in the sky. I can fly twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A Reading Rainbow.
What the hell is that?
I'm impressed.
That's LeVar Burton, his first show on PBS back in the 80s.
He hosted
a show where he talked about books with kids.
I don't know.
By the way, I have no recollection of that, but I love that you have all the 80s knowledge.
And that you knew the lyrics.
He knows the lyrics. I'll be singing it now all night. So every week there's a TikTok story, right? Well, this one's blowing up. This mom, Jen Hamilton, could not find the smell.
Have boys, they said. It will be fun, they said. There was a smell. A very bad smell. It smelled like butt crack. It smelled like straight up booty hole. And I couldn't find it anywhere. I was sniffing all the places. I was sniffing the couch. I was sniffing the rug. I was sniffing my children's feet. I was trying to find it. And come to find out, it was me. My four-year-old dug in his butthole and then rubbed it on his favorite mole of mine.
Oh my God.
I was the smell.
She was the smell.
That could be a feature on a morning show. What's that smell? You know? Oh my gosh.
She's a cute mom.
Yeah. Yeah. Have my co-host sniff something and try to figure
it out.
There
you go.
It was just fun. You know, hearing it is funny, but watching her is even more funny. Because she, can you just imagine this kid sticks his finger up and gets a turdlet and just puts it, paints it on your mole. You're walking around all day and you don't know what the smell is.
One time I got in a car, quick story for you. I got in a car with a buddy of mine in Houston, Texas, and I smelled poop. And the first thing I did, he looked at me when I did it. I went like this. I went, and I sniffed my finger. goes, but, but it was dog poop on my shoe is what I was smelling. But he was laughing that the first instinct of mine was to go.
Yeah, thank you.
He's like, why? Well, why your finger?
You have one too many poop stories, seriously.
I'm sorry. All right, we're moving on here. During an interview with Jimmy Kimmel Live, Gal Gadot told this crazy, crazy story. She had a few drinks, and then she was in the kitchen with her hubby, you know, doing some cooking, and she cut the tip of her finger off. But you know what? That's not all. Her husband threw it in the garbage.
Elon went to the chopping board, and he held the finger.
He did.
And then he gets so disgusted that he threw it into the garbage.
No, he did not. Well, did he turn the switch on just to make sure?
And then we were both like, what? What are we doing? What are we going to say? Yeah, it was a mess. We were a mess. Then I stopped cooking and stopped drinking.
Holy shit, they threw it in the disposal, then they had to dig it out?
I want to know if she's reattached it. Like, what's going on?
Have you ever had a cut that bad? Have you ever done that to your finger?
Yeah, but not that deep.
Not that deep, right.
That's severe.
But throwing it in the disposal?
This can't happen crazy. To Superwoman.
On to music. Very thrilled to see this come through this week. It's been 7 years since any new music from this band, and I'm not even going to say the name because you're going to know it right away.
Laying in a bus seat until it turns around. Can't stop feeling the boss misses and the elevator boots us down. Can't help feeling they want you, and you want to. With their lips on fire and your head unscrewed. But it's time to whip another change and hit one more town.
Brand new Counting Crows. That's off the Butter Miracle Suite 1 EP, which is coming out in a few weeks, May 21st. That song's called Elevator Boots.
You know, you're right. It is very recognizable, but not as quickly as I thought.
Really?
I mean, I don't know. I thought it was like some country act for a minute, and then it hit me.
That's their sound lately, the last 10 years, probably.
I mean, once Adam Duritz starts singing, you know it's him. Why did it take so long, Barnes? I've really missed them.
I don't know. And they're only coming out with an EP.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
All right, give me your top three Counting Crows songs, quickly. Go.
August and that's the name of the
album.
That's
an album. Round Here.
Yeah, that was me.
Einstein on the Beach.
On the Beach, I love.
And A Long December.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's a good one.
Mr. Jones is a little bit too played out, but a great song.
Yeah.
You know, there were so many problems with the Academy Awards, and I know we had our Oscar episode, but at the beginning of the show, they did say, hey, we're not going to do anything on Zoom. They were very proud of themselves for saying they weren't going to do anything on Zoom. But then at the end of the show, when Anthony Hopkins wins Actor of the Year, he's nowhere to be found because he's on Zoom.
No, they didn't do Zoom. He just sent the video in the next day.
He sent the video in because they weren't doing Zoom.
Very grateful to the Academy and thank you. And I want to pay tribute to Chadwick Boseman, who's taken from us far too early. And again, thank you all very much. I really did not expect this.
Man, he's got a lot of birds.
Yeah.
And he's so eloquent, even if he just woke up. It's like Anthony Hopkins is eloquent no matter what he says.
I want to compliment you two, by the way, because, and I'm not trying to suck up here, but I was on the air and I couldn't join you guys for the Oscar recap, but I listened to the whole 20-minute segment.
Really?
You do not need to watch the Oscars anymore, ladies and gentlemen. Just tune in every year to you guys summing it up. You were the Cliff Notes version of the Oscars. It was very well done. I mean, you summed up every headline, every nook and cranny.
Well, the reason we did it was because we felt nobody was going to watch it. It was the lowest rated Oscars ever.
I said that on the air too, and somebody called me. Yeah, there is lowest rated because there were no movies this year. I'm like, well, there were. They wouldn't have done the Oscars, but you know,
it was weak. It was single digits for the first time ever, I believe. Under 10
million.
But
you guys did a great job.
Thank you. You summed it up nicely. Appreciate it.
Hey, you know, I watched a lot of late night TV this past week. Justin Bieber made a surprise virtual appearance on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and so it's Jimmy, The Roots, Justin Bieber, and they performed Justin's latest single called Peaches on something they've done many times, and it's always funny, Classroom Instruments.
I love when they do that.
Yeah.
I get my peaches out in Georgia, yeah. I get my weed from California, that's that. I took my chick up to the north, yeah, badass bitch. I get my life right from the source, yeah, yeah, that's it. I get my peaches out in Georgia, yeah. I get my weed from California.
Dude, crazy how good they can make that sound.
I have new appreciation, by the way, having a 15-month-old with all these damn instruments around the house, and I've stepped on many. New appreciation for what you can do with all those instruments.
Exactly.
The Pop Culture Show is presented by Big 5 Cafecito Cuban Coffee Rum. Florida made, Cuban inspired, enjoyed everywhere.
And you know, Big 5 Rum is rooted in Cuban culture and crafted a coffee rum that pays homage to the classic sweetness of Cuba's coffee drink of choice, the cafecito.
Big 5 Cafecito Cuban Coffee Rum has the delightful bitterness of a rich espresso and a hint of sweetness to balance. Have you guys smelled it? Did you get your bottle?
Oh my God, I got it today and I licked it. I licked the whole bottle.
You can literally just open it up and leave it open in the room and it'll have that like morning, you know, that morning smell.
Aroma. Mm-hmm.
Like of coffee.
That's
coming
through. That's actually a good idea.
But that mixture of the coffee and the rum. Now, I'm not a coffee drinker, but I'm a smeller. I love the smell.
$5 off your purchase of two or more bottles of Big 5 Rum with the code Pop Culture now through June 30th at big5rum.com.
Now, you didn't hear what happened during this reading of Big 5 Rum, but I just want to share with you, I would play the outtakes, but it would be the entire episode.
It would be a YouTube video, which we'll be talking to Rick about.
I've never seen Leslie fumble through a script.
Usually I'm a one taker.
Oh. We've heard that about you.
Stop it.
I wish I could play the outtakes. I mean, we were like on the floor laughing. I should play it, but it's just too long. Honestly, it's too long. And before the show, I called Leslie. I said, hey, Leslie, did you read all that? She's like, yeah, Barnes, I printed it. Yeah.
You know what's funny? If you post that as a separate segment, watch that be like our biggest like download ever.
Put it on YouTube.
I might. I'm tempted.
Don't. You don't have my permission to do that.
Oh, maybe we can make it the one where you pay for it. Like, let's
Leslie
get
didn't sign the waiver.
Yeah, let's do it. You pay. Well, that could be our, it could be our NFT.
That's true. We don't have an NFT. Why don't we?
Okay, so for $1 million, we'll give you that outtake.
Wanna get intimate? Subscribe to The Pop Cult at thepopcultureshow.com and get VIP insider access to the show with bonus content, exclusive videos, and freebies. Anything happening on the show will come to you first. Sign up free and join The Pop Cult at thepopcultureshow.com.
Let's jump into celebrity sleaze. So this is an easy one. If I asked you guys, what was the steamiest photo of the week? What do you think it was?
Steamiest of the week?
Come on. It was like they were all over each other.
This is not as easy as
I don't
think.
Know.
Wait, is it A-Rod again?
No. It was on the beach, Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian.
Oh,
right.
She's like jumped into his arms in her bikini. Yeah. I mean, they are like full hot and heavy. A lot of people are saying Travis has already started shopping and planning an ultra romantic proposal that will knock her off her feet.
I am happy you didn't have the A-Rod story because I'm so sick of the whole A-Rod, J-Lo back and forth.
I know.
Are they back?
No. But
apparently he's trying to get her back and then she's like, she's ready to move on. And so
just
whatever.
Done.
But I do see the Kourtney Travis thing happening because they've been friends for a really long time. But they keep posting these photos of each other, like all over each other. It's getting to be a little embarrassing.
Right.
Now, we were talking about that TikTok video earlier that went viral. Did you see the other one about the IHOP waitress? She released the surveillance camera video showing Adam Sandler turning away. I guess he was with his daughter. They were wearing masks and, you know, he didn't want to wait 30 minutes for a table. So he left.
This is such a non-story.
I know. And so she put this on TikTok. Please come back.
I mean, it was a wait. I mean, I give him credit for not saying, hey, yo, I'm worth $450 million.
Exactly.
Give me a table.
Right. He can make his own Rudy Tootie Fresh and Fruity.
Yeah, you could buy. I'm going to buy this restaurant right now, and you're fired.
Now, Barnes, you know, I know you keep asking me, where's John Mayer? Why isn't he on our show? Well,
why?
The latest is that maybe Paramount Plus is going to offer him his own late night show.
Well, he had one on VH1, remember? He did the pilot, and then it was funnier than hell. And then he ended up not doing it because I think it was going to take too much time.
Yeah, he has this Instagram live show he does called Current Mood. And then, of course, you know, he's sat in for the Late Late Show on CBS following the departure of Craig Ferguson. But apparently, and I didn't even see this on TikTok, but he's got about 140 million fans on TikTok alone. He's a smart guy. I could totally see him. Yeah. He's very facetious doing a show, and maybe doing a show like Elvis Costello used to have, where he talked to musicians and stuff.
Totally. John is funny. He is just like always on.
But he's not like stand-up comic funny, in my opinion. Like, he's dry, but it's smart humor.
Yes, it's very dry. You got to get it to get it.
Right.
Well, they're saying that the supposed name of the show is Later, like Later with Jules Holland, which is, you know, on the BBC. So we'll see. I'd actually like to see that.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
Very funny. So, Cubby, I know you love it when we talk about reboots and, you know, sequels. Well, I have a bunch of stories for you this week. First and foremost, the Flintstones sequel. Oh. Hey, that series is in the works, an animated series called Bedrock. It's going to be for Fox TV and would be set 20 years after the events of the Flintstones with Elizabeth Banks as the EP.
Yabba dabba dum.
Yeah.
Well, it might work. I mean, it's not a movie like the one in 94,
which was awful.
That was bad. But this is, like you said, Leslie, an animated series. So it might fit for TV, but another movie, no.
Yeah, apparently in the show, Fred is on the brink of retirement. And Pebbles, who will be like 20-something, is starting her own career. And then, of course, the Addams Family is coming to Netflix, as you know, with Tim Burton. Now they're saying Christina Ricci is rumored to be Morticia.
They're doing Addams Family again?
It's unbelievable.
That's again and again.
We should have a drinking game. Every reboot, we mention every show that we do a shot.
It is unreal how many reboots there are.
When did Hollywood get just so uncreative that that's all they have now?
How I Met Your Mother's sequel series will star Hilary Duff. Have you heard about that?
That's just the same as a reboot. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all the same.
Yes. As a How I Met Your Mother sequel series titled How I Met Your Father has been ordered at Hulu. And there you go, Cubby, because you're a Hulu subscriber. Did you sign up?
No, we're waiting because Handmaid's Tale, they released 3 episodes, I think.
Oh, you're going to wait till you get...
We're going to wait till the very, very end to get the free trial.
You know what? Hulu is on Netflix's ass. They're coming out with some good new stuff.
Yeah.
It's getting interesting. I mean, maybe they can make a battle, which is only good for us because we'll keep getting great content.
It's like over and over and over again. Now, Barnes, I know that you watched the Oscars. Did you see the previews to the Steven Spielberg West Side Story musical?
I went to get a drink.
Well, they showed the trailer. It's unbelievable. And then they showed, what's going on with musicals? Then they showed the trailer to Lin-Manuel Miranda's HBO Max show called Into the Heights.
One looks better.
As in Washington Heights. They actually both looked pretty epic. Michael B. Jordan is addressing rumors that he's playing Superman. Warner Brothers is developing a relaunch of Superman with J.J. Abrams. That's cool. And a lot of rumors going around that, you know, it could be Michael B. Jordan. Apparently, here was his quote, which, you know, didn't say a lot, but he said, I don't know what is really going on with Black Superman in particular, but everybody wants and desires to see Black lead in heroic roles, and it's really important. So let's just see how things shake out. That's what he said, which leads me to believe he could be Superman.
Are they shooting for this year or next year?
They didn't say. Here's something that's actually coming back that I never saw at all in the beginning. Do you remember a show called Don't Forget the Lyrics?
Yes.
The original Don't Forget the Lyrics was on Fox from 2007 to 2009.
I do remember.
It was like Name That Tune, right?
Hosted by Wayne Brady.
Yeah, I remember that. It was hard.
Yeah, well now, is it Niecy Nash from The Masked Singer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well apparently they've ordered a revival with her as the host.
Do you remember a show called Putting on the Hits?
No.
Where people would lip sync to songs?
Nope.
You don't remember that?
When was that?
It was like 85, 86, you know me in the 80s.
An 80s person.
Please comment below.
Comment below what?
I don't know, if you use it for a fucking promo or something. You guys want to have lunch next week?
Oh,
you know,
comment
next
below.
Week's no good for me. The Jonas Brothers are in town.
What?
Remember that drop from The Hangover? I just have it in my Roadcaster. Oh. Hey, you want to have lunch next week?
Oh, you know what? Next week's no good for me. The Jonas Brothers are in town.
All right, sorry.
Barnes, you're an actor. What do you do to remember lines?
It's so fucking hard, Fram.
Because Matthew McConaughey said that this is what he does. He'll read the lines at different times of the day. And then on a Saturday night, he said, you know, he'll do that again. And then Sunday morning after church, when he's in a forgiving mood, and even when he's sad, mad, or glad, he then makes the point that you don't simply memorize the lines of the script. You just get into the character to really understand the lines.
The hardest one I've ever had to do was I went in for a screen test for Days of Our Lives. 10 pages of like massive chunks of dialogue. And that probably took me 3 days. But you're floating with no life vest. So if you fuck it up, you're toast.
Yeah, like, and the other person that you're doing the scene with is relying on your cues and all that.
And you're relying on theirs.
But is it okay if you mess up a couple of small words as long as you keep the flow going? Or do they want every word exact?
Sometimes they don't care as long as you keep the context. But when I did Drop Dead Diva, I was working with Rosie O'Donnell. And they changed up a bunch they changed up where my character worked or something. I was on the stand. It was this long trial. And I was like, how am I going to, you changed my whole thing up. And I'd already memorized this whole speech. And so I wrote it. If you look back at that episode, I wrote it on a piece of paper and taped it. You know, when you're on the stand, like the little piece in front of you. And so I looked down, like I was like thinking, and I glanced at it. I mean, you can't really get away with that usually. But
that's why when I did adult videos, I did Romancing the Bone, and there was nothing to worry about with lines. It was only a couple. It was like, here's your pizza, and that was hard.
Yeah. That's really, hard. Really good advice. Now, I think this is the reason the Pop Culture Show exists, because apparently when it comes to TV recommendations, a new poll suggests we're twice as likely to trust random social media users over professional critics. And we're not professional.
It's true.
We're not professional. Apparently, they talked to 2,000 adults in the United States that watch TV, and a lot of them were like, no, we'd rather hear it from friends, family members, the Pop Culture Show, over critics.
Wow. That's what they said.
That's what they said.
But it's so true. You'll see something come through your stream, and if it looks interesting with those few words, you'll check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when you said like how good the Cecil Hotel was, and couldn't wait to watch it.
Man, you stick on something and never let it go.
He's never going to let it go. So,
Leslie, you're a big HBO Max person, right? Did you see that they're coming out with an ad-supported version now?
Yeah, I was going to just ask you about that right now. What do you think?
I hate those unfast-forwardable commercials.
$9.99 per month.
Yeah.
Right. It's cheaper. Right. What is it now? 14 something?
$14.99.
Yeah.
I'll give you the $5. Just don't hit me with the same effing commercial over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Lifetime does that all the time.
Have you guys seen Tiger King?
Hey, listen, I love HBO Max, but you know, I'm watching Mayor of Easttown, and it's like, it kills me that I can't binge it. You know, it's like once a week, just like Showtime. It drives me crazy.
Well, do like Cubby. Just wait till the last one comes out, then binge it.
No, I can't. Yep. I can't do that. So that's your celebrity sleaze.
Okay, let's talk road trips. We have news breaking that, Cubby, you and I are so golden right now, it's not even funny.
What do you mean?
Coming this summer, they're predicting road trip mania because of vaccinations and the herd immunity approaching that. But gas stations are running out of gas.
Oh, I know where you're going.
You and I are Tesla, baby.
Yep. A year ago this time, we were talking about gas prices being $1.50, and now we're going to be over $3 easily.
Is it going to be tough, though, when you road trip long distance, you have to map out where you have to pull over for your Tesla?
Not at all. They do
it's
it for you.
It's part of the
you.
Fun, I think.
I love pulling over to charge. Grab a bite to eat, you get back, you have a full tank ready to go. But they're saying good luck this summer finding gas. And so it's apparently the drivers. There's a shortage on the tank truck carriers, and they're running like only 20%-ish of the amount of trucks that they should be running. So gas stations are going to start emptying out, and there's going to be no fuel coming in. So you better buy a Tesla in the next month.
Everybody should go electric. I mean, I'm having so much fun with my car, and yeah, you get maybe a little range anxiety at times, but there's always a charging station nearby.
Have you taken an Uber or Lyft recently?
Not in a year.
No,
okay.
Anymore.
I hadn't either until a couple of weeks ago. I was doing some work related things, and I was Ubering or Lyfting. I was shocked at how expensive it has gotten.
Oh, yeah. Because there's so few drivers.
Doubled. Totally doubled. And I didn't. Now Lyft's doing this thing where, you know, if you want to get picked up 15 minutes earlier, you can do it if you pay an extra $15. I'm like, whoa.
That's bullshit.
It's crazy. Wow.
So this gas thing is real, people. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's all over the place. So be on the lookout. And along with that, I saw this interesting piece on the deadliest roads in America.
Ooh.
Which, you know, what's your favorite road trip? Like, is there one that sticks out?
My dad took me to San Diego in like 88, my first trip to California. And we did we flew to San Diego and then we drove up the coast and we headed towards San Francisco. We did it for like a week and a half though. We shot into, you know, Palm Springs and then came back to the coast. It was great. Great.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite. And also we did this road trip from Santa Fe to Taos, New Mexico.
I've been there.
Yeah. You're going by the, like 2.5 hours and then you're driving by like the Rio Grande and it's majestic.
It really is.
Loop one is mine, California one, and I did what you said, Cubby, the first time because I didn't know any better and I started that far. You really don't want to start that far down because it's the same stuff until you get like up to Santa Barbara.
Correct.
So the next time I did it, I think I started LA probably, and then man, once you get to Carmel, and if you've never done that in your life,
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
I've never done a cross country. I want to do a cross country one time.
I haven't done that. Well, then you're going to want to pay attention. I have the four worst here, and people who are listening all over, you know, we have people all over the country, so some of these may be in your hood. The way they analyzed it is they took three-year periods from the National Highway Traffic Safety, you know, the NTSA, the NHTSA, to find out which of the highways had the most deaths per mile of a road. The deadliest road in America is I-4 from Tampa to Daytona Beach.
Well, that's probably because I don't know what the main reason is, but dude, Florida drivers are nuts.
Yeah, that's 1.13 deaths per mile.
It's sad actually, yeah.
And the next one's from your old neck of the woods, Galveston, I-45 from Galveston to Dallas, 0.91 deaths per mile. Yeah. And then you've got, I don't know, this area, the Route 192 from Four Corners, Florida to Indy Atlantic, Florida. I've never heard of that, but 0.87 deaths per mile. Fourth on the list, I-17, Phoenix to Flagstaff.
Ooh.
I've done that drive. I don't remember, but it's pretty flat. I mean, I don't know why that's like in that area.
Well, but in that, like, in that very desert, like, where maybe there's no streetlights at night and.
Probably. That's 0.71 deaths per mile. But when you go to the Grand Canyon, it's not like you see it coming. You just drive up and there's a big hole in the ground.
I think drivers, by the way, have gotten worse because we've been rusty and not driving as much.
I agree.
The cell phone thing is out of control.
Yeah. And the cell phone, texting, people blatantly texting. Yeah.
I mean, with the phones full on up to their face.
Yeah.
And the last one, Florida again. So basically the gist of this, don't go to Florida.
That's what it sounds
Route 92 from St. Petersburg to Daytona Beach, 0.71 deaths per mile. And on the Tesla topic, have you guys been following the story about the Phantom Tesla driver and the two guys that were sadly killed?
Yeah, what happened there?
Well, have you seen, they're saying that nobody was in the driver's seat. That was the original story. But now they've come out and said that the steering wheel's deformed. So now they're questioning whether was there a third driver, maybe alcohol was involved or something, and they left? Or because there's no way that if there was no one in the seat, that steering wheel got deformed.
Well, Elon has been very defensive, by the way.
Very. And you know, it won't keep going. If you took your seatbelt off.
Correct.
And someone filmed a version of showing how that works. If you take it off, your car literally will jerk to the side of the road and stop.
It knows when there's weight in the seat, doesn't it?
I think so. But
something
also,
like
there
that.
Are no lines on the road.
Right.
And the autopilot doesn't work when there's no lines. It's just really strange story.
But Elon Musk says that there's 10% less accidents when you're in autopilot.
Yeah, the numbers, they had just come out with their numbers from the first quarter of like accidents with Teslas, and it was very, very low.
So you're saying buy Tesla for a road trip.
Yeah, this was not paid for by Tesla. That was
should
just,
be.
That story was just back in, and they still, if you see the map, they were in a really rich part of Houston, a wealthy area with massive houses.
Mm-hmm.
And they only drove like the equivalent of like two blocks.
That's strange.
Tesla stock right now, what do you think it is? What number is it right now? Go.
I don't even, 700?
677.
Oh.
Not bad.
Yeah, I own a little bit of Tesla. a little bit. Once I saw the beauty, I had to jump in.
Did you buy it early?
2 years.
Oh, that's pretty good. And what kind of car do you drive, Leslie?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Get exclusive video content when you follow the Pop Culture Show on Instagram. Unlock full video interviews and video bits you can't get anywhere else. Instagram.com/thepopcultureshow.
Our guest today is a YouTuber with millions of subscribers. Rick Beato, welcome to the Pop Culture Show.
Thank you, Burns.
I think we also have to add that formally, you know, Rick, successful rock star in a band called Billionaire.
Yep.
Producer, sound engineer, amazing guitar player, writer, producers, worked with everyone from Shinedown, Need to Breathe. I mean, the list goes on and on of what he has done. What haven't you done? It's pretty successful.
Taking a break.
Rick, does 2 million plus subscribers, does that equate to like a dollar a head? How does that work?
Yeah, something like that. No.
I mean, your following is unbelievable. The engagement on the videos you put out, it's really impressive.
Rick, you should tell everybody the story about how you got into it, because you kind of fell into it and from your assistant. You should tell that story because it's really crazy how it happened and then you just became wildly successful.
Yeah, so I had an assistant named Rhett, and he came to my studio for probably 3 years or so. And one day in 2016, he says, "You should start a YouTube channel." I was like, "What? Nobody's going to watch a white-haired guy on YouTube." He's like, no, I think, I said, "I don't even own a camera. I'm going to bring my camera in tomorrow. I'm going to help you make your channel trailer." I said, "What do I make videos about?" "You know, whatever. Talk about music, talk about music theory, talk about producing, talk about engineering, whatever, you know, you talk about all these different things." Because you see me lecture the bands all the time on different things, on compression, on EQ, on whatever. So he brought his camera in. He made my channel trailer, which is actually still my channel trailer. The first time you come into my channel, you see that, and then you never see it again. And then about a week later, June 8th, 2016, I made my first video, and then I just started making them after there. That by myself.
Well, how many views did your first video get? When did you know?
Nothing.
When did it?
Well, actually, my first video has over a million views now. But it took me about 40 videos before I had a video with 1,000 views.
So it's very similar to our podcast. it takes a lot of episodes before you get traction, right?
It does. It takes about, I would say, about 40 or so. And any YouTube channel that's successful that I know, because I have a lot of friends who I've helped kind of start their YouTube channels, and YouTube never pushes their channel until they have about 40 episodes or so.
So what was the first one that you thought, wow, this is like really something, this could be successful?
I did one of the videos that was like the first viral video I had was a rant about Apple computers.
As you can see, I have a bunch of Apple computers behind me. This is the one I've been making my videos on. This is a 2013 that died the other day. Now, just to show you that I'm not just some typical Apple user, I also have a Mac Mini. What is this? An iPad. iPhone 6. Now, I have a lot of money invested, as you can see, in Apple products. Tens of thousands of dollars, if not more. But my relationship with Apple is coming to an end, and I'll tell you why.
Apple, it's good if you like crap, is what I called it. And I was mad because, and I use Apple computers. I'm on an Apple computer right now. I got mad because of how they, they kept changing iTunes and they kept changing all these features every time that you upgraded, and I lost my library. And you know how all these things are? They make the, every time you have, it's,
yeah,
like everything I bought was gone.
You have to authorize a computer, then deauthorize a computer,
yeah,
all that
so
stuff.
I got mad. I made a rant video just as a nothing thing, and it got millions of views.
That's what does it, though.
At what point did YouTube reach out to you because they saw something happening? Like, you were making waves. Did they ever, like, email you? They call you? How does that work?
The only thing that I've ever had with YouTube is after I did it, I testified for before Congress, the Subcommittee on Intellectual Properties.
But they feature you a lot on their homepage.
Yes, I've had 7 trending videos in the past year, but that's That's if you get a video that gets, you know, 500,000 views in a day or 1,000,000 views, whatever.
Well, the trend on our videos is usually that no one watches them. That's a, it's a pretty consistent trend.
Yeah, can you post us on your channel, please?
We get all these listens and we get in all other outlets, but YouTube could give a shit about anything we have to put out. Maybe now that'll change.
No, YouTube is tough, though. They're tough. But I think this is just my theory that if you don't have, if you have 40 videos and then you have one that has the right thing, then they'll push that video. And if it takes off, they figure that people can binge watch your other videos. And then if they start watching your other videos, then they will really push your channel.
Do you have one of those cool plaques, by the way? Don't some YouTubers get this like little plaque?
Yeah, you get a plaque at 100,000 subscribers and a plaque at 1,000,000. So I've got those. And then you get one at 10 million. So it's like, it's like the 10 million is like the diamond record, right? If you think of, you know, so you get your gold record, platinum record, the million's your platinum thing. And then diamond is, you get a diamond at 10 million.
But coming from being like a classically trained musician to a rock star, could you ever imagine in your gray days that you would be a famous YouTuber? That's just unbelievable.
Well, there was no YouTube then when I was doing that. So.
No, but I know, but like you would never, if someone said, because now when you ask any kid what they want to be, they want to be a YouTuber.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah,
it's pretty weird. When I, funny thing is, when I would go to, I was on I was on the school board at my kid's school. But back in 2014 or 2016, 2017, for a couple of years. And when parents would ask me what I do, I would say, I'm a YouTuber. And it was very strange. I mean, what do you say? Like, what is your job? What do you do? I'm a YouTuber. And that's my job.
Your content's great. You talk about, you know, the charts and what's famous on the charts. You also talk, I love, you know, I always tell everybody the story about the Justin Bieber song, maybe copying another song. And you kind of, you break it down though. You break it down into simple terms that I can understand. But what, have you been surprised by some of the people that actually watch and reach out to you? Like some of the more famous people or famous guitar players or musicians?
Yeah. I mean, I'm always surprised that people that watch it. I got a message from Joni Mitchell after I did an episode on the song Amelia. Joni sent me a Christmas present.
Wow.
Yeah, she's her assistant. Well, Joni didn't reach out. Her assistant reached out to me and said that Joni saw my video and loved it and watched a bunch of my other videos. Because I made some videos, like I made a video on Jaco Pastorius, the bass player, played with Joni on a few of her records. And I mean, you can kind of go down a rabbit hole with these. And I interviewed Larry Carlton, who played with her. I interviewed Robin Ford, that played with her. So I have all these connections of people. And so that's one of the people that, and I'm the biggest Joni Mitchell fan. So,
you know what I want to talk about? The comment section of YouTube videos. How can they start off with, that's a great video, and the next comment is, yeah, well, Trump was robbed. I mean, like all of a sudden it just diverts. I mean, do you read the comments on YouTube, on your YouTube videos?
So there's a thing where you can filter. I always tell people, don't ever talk about politics in the comment. There's never a comment on politics in any of the comment things on my video, ever. So I put in, you put in filters, you put in all the politicians' names that would be brought up, and it just, they just go to spam. So one of the things that really surprised me, I just did a video on YouTube, a breakdown on Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. And the vitriol for U2, I mean, it's polar opposite and everything. But now it's interesting that the vitriol was in the first day, and now all the comments are positive.
Really?
Yeah. Now all the
haters gonna hate. I mean,
all the YouTube fans now have found the video and they're starting to watch it. So,
but when you are live, like I'll watch you on Instagram, and it's amazing the speed of comments that are coming in. It must just be dizzying for you to try to keep up with it. That being said, I would like for you to answer my question that I sent through, and you skipped. And my question was, best guitarist to ever come out of Atlanta.
Oh man. Good question, Barnes.
That is a great question.
Went right past that.
Okay, I thought you were going to say best guitarist of all time, but Atlanta.
No, from the music scene.
From the music scene, wow. I'm going to throw one out there that is a phenomenal guitarist, Brendan O'Brien.
Yeah.
Phenomenal guitarist. Oh man.
Producer Brendan O'Brien, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
I would have said John Mayer.
John is an amazing guitar player. I don't think of John as being from Atlanta, I guess, you know, even though he was from Atlanta. But Brendan, because, see, Brendan was behind the scenes. Me being a producer, I have an interest. So I was at a studio in Nashville, a big studio back in 2012. And I said to the head engineer, it's one of the biggest studios. And I said, who's the best session guitar player that's come through here? And he goes, and I figured he'd mention a Nashville session star. And he goes, oh, definitely Brendan O'Brien. I said, wow. And I knew that Brendan, I mean, I said, yeah, I've seen Brendan play. He used to play at Smith's Old Bar on Thanksgiving night. He had a thing with Rick Richards that he would do, a cover gig. And he did it for a few years, and he was unbelievable.
What's been your biggest video so far that you've posted?
The top 20 acoustic guitar intros of all time.
Crafting the introduction of a song with a memorable guitar part is a difficult thing to do. There should be an identifiable instrumental hook called a signature that begins the song. It's usually a combination of a melodic line and the chord progression. Now, I don't mean songs like Landslide that just picks through the chords. That's a great part on its own, but it's not really a melodic hook. In this video, I'm going to count down my top 20 acoustic guitar intros of all time. Coming in at number 20 is a song that actually strums the chords, but the strumming part is really the entire hook of the song. It also uses these sus chords, sus 2 and sus 4 chords.
It's like the first Ooh. Video I ever did with acoustic guitar on my channel. It's got 12 and a half million views now.
Oh my yeah. gosh. Do you just get a check every month from YouTube? How does that, being very serious, how does that work when you're a YouTuber? Does it go by your views and then yeah. you just get like some statement that says?
Or it's direct deposit.
Yeah, from Google.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's yeah, but
that's all, awesome.
But I do so many videos, Barnes, that are unmonetized. Like, if you use, so when I do a video like that, well, that is a content sharing thing. So that you split the every single song. So there's 20 right. songs in there that you're splitting the money with each of the 20 artists, right? So it's
I forgot about getting
whittled down.
What about when people come to you and say, "Hey, I want to make it on YouTube," and I'm sure you get. People asking for advice all the time.
What
do you tell them? Like, where
I said,
do you start?
You gotta make about 40 videos and be consistent about it. And right when you think that that it's not going to happen, that's when it happens. So I have a friend that's named Ward Carroll. That's he used to teach at the Naval Academy. He's a writer, and he's was a fighter pilot. And so he was starting a YouTube channel and I said, "Oh, you'd be great on YouTube, Ward." So he started making videos, and he called me about, I don't know, a month ago or so, and he's like, "I've done these videos," and I looked at his thing. It's like about 40, Ward, and he said, "Yeah, nothing over 1,000 views." And then all of a sudden, he made a video about Top Gun. I mean, he's was a real fighter pilot, taught at the Naval Academy. I mean, he's like, you know, and he is a great storyteller. Well, all of a sudden, this video has got 375,000 views now. And all of his other videos took off, and he's gotten about 15,000 subscribers in the last 2 weeks.
There you go. So your advice was right.
Incredible.
There you go.
And how often, by the way, should you post if you're just starting out on YouTube? Is it once a week, once a day?
My first year, I posted, I always think I did about 300 videos the first year. It probably wasn't quite that many, but I've made 820 videos or so for my channel.
Seriously, really. He works hard. He told me when we chatted a few weeks ago that he spends 10 to 12 hours a day 7 days a week on this channel.
Well, but then you have Instagram, and then you have TikTok, and then you have Facebook, and then you, I mean, that's like a full, do you have social media managers? You just hand off the content and say, go?
No, I'm it.
He's it.
You do it all. You post it and everything.
I post it. Yeah. I make my Instagram video in the morning, first thing. I usually post on Instagram every day. I've got about, I don't know, about 340,000 followers on Instagram, but it's all guitar for the most part on Instagram. And then, and then I put out a YouTube video about every other day. So I'm always working on stuff. I don't have anything saved, any, you know, any backlog of stuff to put out. I just make whatever video I think of during the day. I make it.
No wonder you have gray hair and you're only 25.
59.
He works
actually,
all day.
But yeah.
That's right. You had a birthday last week,
happy
I believe,
birthday.
Right?
Thank you. 59.
You have some diehard fans out there, though. I mean, when we post this, people are going to go nuclear because they love you.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on, Rick. It was really cool to see you on here and learn what you're doing.
Great tips.
And if you don't follow him, which how could you not? Everyone already does. Follow Rick Beato. Is there a website where everything is?
Yeah.
Like all the links to your...
Yeah, just follow me on YouTube. Follow me on YouTube or Instagram. How's that?
There
We're
you
just
go.
Gonna start tagging you in every one of our videos. Hashtag, he's in this somewhere. I'm telling you, he's here.
There you go.
All right, Rick. Well, thank you very much for coming on from LA. Yeah. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Rick. All right, guys. Time for some TV talk. And I know the running joke with me is I don't watch many things because I'm kind of busy with the kid and all that. But I'm not making excuses. There is something I've seen a preview of, and I'm gonna watch it. You know, give me a homework assignment here, and I'll prove to you that I'm going to watch this. 9 Perfect Strangers, Nicole Kidman, Melissa McCarthy. It's coming on Hulu very soon. You've seen this, right?
I saw
the
previews.
This is the Big Little Lies, either writer or...
Yeah, the author.
Produce, author?
It looks really good.
Dude.
It looks phenomenal.
Do you have the trailer?
Welcome to Tranquillum House. You want to get well? You want to heal? Surrender yourself to me.
I have been feeling rather unwell lately.
In 10 days, you will be transformed.
We are on the precipice of something great.
That looks so good.
It really does.
I hope it's not a letdown.
Nicole's been really busy with all the acting, but yeah, she plays like the resort director who may not be exactly what she seems.
I mean, I've never, one of the scenes I saw when they, I saw that on Hulu, they have a bunch of graves dug up.
Oh boy.
And these 9 people are all laying in the graves.
Right.
And she's preaching to them. It's
very
freaky.
Guys, don't forget, I don't want you to watch 9 episodes of Perfect Strangers. It's 9 Perfect Strangers. Yes. That's the name of the show on Hulu. Yeah,
Melissa McCarthy, a very odd, different type of role for her.
Yeah.
It is a totally different type, like a 180 for her.
You know where she lives, Cubby?
Atlanta.
She's my neighbor.
Yep. Can you knock on her door right now?
No, not my reach is not that good, but she moved here like a year ago because of all the stuff.
Wow.
I mean, she's been doing all of her movies here. I don't know if I would even recognize her if I saw her in the wild.
In the wild.
In the wild.
But same with Josh Brolin. He also is in the hood. And I think I would recognize
him.
Yeah,
you would.
Every time I go to Chipotle, I wonder if he's behind me. You think he eats at Chipotle? I don't know. I have a couple for you. This, you know, I'm a little pissed off at Netflix, and I can't remember, Cubby, if it was you that we had this conversation, but they are doing too many subtitles and too many overdubs. It's out of control.
Yeah, there's all these movies coming from France and Italy.
Do you just not like those type of movies?
Well, it's a lot of work.
Well, yeah, but you know what I like about them?
What?
It keeps like your significant other off their phone.
Well, it's right. You have to. I watched the one that's in Paris. I forgot what it's called. You Call Your Agent, I think is what it's called, which is great. But man, it's really, you can't look at your phone. You have to pay attention. And when you see the title of this one, Sexify, first, I think, text Cubby, tell him there's a new series on Netflix called Sexify.
Yep. Get the Lubriderm.
Listen, Lubriderm?
Lubriderm, the lotion.
Okay. Yeah. Listen to this trailer and just see if you can pick out keywords.
Hey. Chciałabyś się przejść?
Nie, dziękuję. Zrobiłam dzisiaj 15,000 kroków. Kobiecy orgazm to wciąż temat pomijany i traktowany z pobłażaniem.
Zrobię apkę. Org. Seks to jest bardzo ważna dziedzina życia.
Paulina, wyjdziesz za mnie?
Bo to tak na zawsze.
Zawsze są rozwody.
Nie kłam, o co w tym wszystkim chodzi. Ja mam tylko mój mózg.
Ty prawiasz seks.
To jest pytanie czy propozycja?
Ja będę pracować teoretycznie, a ty praktycznie.
What have we come to?
I heard the word sex. I heard that was the only word I could here.
Orgasm. They're making a sex app.
Right.
Did you watch it? Did you watch the episode?
Didn't you get that from that? It just came out today or yesterday. Okay. Yeah, I can't watch that.
No. Why not?
They got me with the title, clickbait, and then I hear all that. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do with that?
You're going to watch it is what you're going to do.
Well, with the volume off.
Well, get the headphones on, like the old people in the commercials that have the headsets on.
And no,
the,
and that's because they're trying to hear it.
So now the subtitle thing bothers you. Does the overdubbing bother you?
All of it. Yeah, I'm done.
Because that doesn't bother
me. No more.
Then why would you even bring it up on this podcast?
Because I'm showing my, like, the grief that it's causing me, that there's so many things I want to watch by seeing the little ad. And then when you click on it, you get just...
Hey.
I mean, it's
you're frustrated.
Enough.
Well, I need to know if I'm kind of on the fence. I want to drop $20 and watch the Liam Neeson one, Marksman, that just dropped. But you know, if you wait about a month, it'll go down to $6.99.
Yeah. Marksman?
Yeah, with Liam Neeson. It just dropped. I love that. We have these things called Lanny movies here, and those are the kind of action thriller movies. And we watched Trigger Point that just came out.
How'd you find me?
Big Brother's always watching, Nicholas. Monica's missing. She was onto some lead, positive proof of who set all of this up.
Where's the agency in all this?
8 of our friends are dead. Someone forced you to give up their names. Don't you want to know who?
We're looking for someone.
If she's not dead, then he's using her for bait.
This conspiracy goes deeper than you think.
You had a choice. You turned.
No, I remember.
What
the hell is that?
This is that formula. I know you've seen it a million times. Where
you watch that movie?
Yeah, it's like Lanny loves these action thriller movies, but this is the formula, and I know you've seen it, where someone used to be in the CIA or used to be an operative, and now they're, you know, retired or whatever, and then they get dragged back in.
It's like Taken.
Over and over and over, and that's what this was, but it was actually pretty good.
You watched the whole thing. You didn't fall asleep or read your phone.
How do you fall asleep? It was like action-packed.
That's funny.
Yeah. Trigger Point.
You guys believe in Sasquatch?
Bigfoot?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because either you're a believer or you're not.
I mean, not really. I mean, how could there be one picture, and it's one from 76, and it's all grainy?
I'm with you. My wife, though, will go down the rabbit hole reading sightings, like the whole thing.
Really?
I do think it's a 50-50 divide. Do you, Leslie?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, there's a new Hulu thing called Sasquatch.
Ooh.
It's a series.
Hulu.
And it actually looks good.
Someone doesn't have to be out in the woods too long to feel like I might not belong here and something is going to take me out.
I've been a journalist for about 25 years, embedding with street gangs, going undercover as a neo-Nazi skinhead. But now I'm going to tell you the craziest story I've ever heard. I was working on a cannabis farm up in Northern California. I remember a guy telling me about 3 bodies torn to pieces. He said a Bigfoot killed those guys. A Bigfoot murdered 3 guys on a dope farm.
Are you in?
I wish I could see it. Not hear it.
It's beautifully shot. I mean, it's a dope farm, and apparently Bigfoot's killing off these people.
Now, has Heather started watching this?
No, it just came out.
Okay.
We're going to start watching. Okay. I think that we're definitely in.
Let us know.
There's your TV talk.
Thank you.
Well, I will. I mean, I'm not usually in on something like that, but it does look good. It's kind of got me. I'm telling you, Hulu, they're on their game.
Dude, is Hulu paying you?
No.
Jesus.
I just look at my choices, and then I look at where it is, and it's Hulu again.
Hulu this, Hulu that.
I watched The Bomber this week on Hulu also, about the Austin bombs. There was like 10 bombs over 19 days or something.
10
Go
what?
Look it up. It's bombs.
Bombs? Bombs? Is that B-A-U-M-S?
Are you saying B-O-M-B-S?
Do you say bomba?
No, listen to him. Leslie, am I right? He's saying bombs.
I thought you said B-A-L-M-S.
Yeah.
You guys are on crack.
Like lip balms.
That's what I thought you said.
How do you say
it? I did too.
Say bomb.
Bombs.
Just say bomb.
Bombs.
Bombs.
Now you say it.
Bomb.
Bomb. Bomb. Yeah, you're saying B-A-L-M.
Oh my God.
All right, say bomb. All right, lip and then say bomb.
Bomb.
Lip.
Lip?
No, I'm going to say lip and then you say bomb. Lip.
I'm so done with you.
I gotta go.
This show's over. We'll see you next week on the Pop Culture Show. Maybe.
Oh, you know what? Next week's no good for me. The Jonas Brothers are in town.
The Pop Culture Show is presented by Big Five Cafecito Cuban Coffee Rum. Florida made, Cuban inspired, enjoyed everywhere. Big Five Cafecito Cuban Coffee Rum.